We'll start it off by bringing in our one and only guest of the show. Elliot Clough covers Iowa for Hawkeye Beacon, part of the Rivals Network. Kind enough to take some time to chat a little hoops with us here on a Thursday afternoon. Elliot, always appreciate the time. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Spencer?
Good, good. Thanks for making some time. I know you're making your way down to cover the game tonight, and should be another interesting chapter in this rivalry. We'll talk about the matchup here in just a bit, but want to get your thoughts just on the season as a whole for the Hawkeye men, 7-2 record. What's your assessment through the first nine games? You've seen them, and what do you think so far for Iowa men's hoops so far?
Yeah, Spencer, this is a very different team than last year with some of the same pieces. Obviously, Peyton Sanford's the straw that stirs the drink for this group, but I mean, he's also had some struggles with injury. I think that, he said it himself after that Utah State game where he went, I believe, 1 of 13 from the field, if I'm remembering correctly, only made one three-pointer. He's had that issue, but and if he was himself, they probably would have won that game. He said that himself. You look at that Michigan loss, which another good team. Both of these teams are, I believe, top 50 in the net, and I know Michigan's ranked. But they put up really good fights, and you know that's kind of a silly way to look at it. I don't know if silly is the right word, but layman's terms way of looking at it. But this team has a gear that last year's team just simply didn't have, and I don't know if that's simply because of depth, of leadership. You know, Peyton Sanford's had that year of leadership under his belt. The addition of Drew Selwell has been massive in terms of energy. Of course, point guard from Morehead State that they added this offseason out of the portal. And this team is just overall more athletic with the addition of Selwell, but definitely Sadu Traore, who I'm sure you've noticed is not on the availability report, and it will be available tonight for the Cy-Hawk game. And this is going to be really telling, I think, of what this team is facing a top five opponent tonight in Carver.
Well, let's talk about those transfers. You mentioned Traore, and I see Cooper Koch also both available for the Iowa game. One of the big storylines has been those injuries. There's even a section in the game notes, Elliot, I'm sure you've seen that, about the number of games that guys have missed here so far this year for Fran McCaffrey's bunch. What do you think a realistic expectation is tonight for Koch and Traore and some of the guys that have been banged up going into a tough game against the number three team in the country? What do you think, like, minutes-wise, how much of an impact do you think they can have in a game like this tonight?
Right. So with Sadu and Cooper, who haven't been playing, obviously, and Sadu hasn't been able to do a whole lot with that bum ankle after twisting it against USC Upstate, that would be my number one concern, is just what their conditioning is at this moment in time. And of course, with Sadu, his number one thing is his athleticism and his length. He'll be really, really important in the front of that three-quarter court press that they run. Koch, obviously, a weapon on the three-point line. So if anything, I think the presence of Sadu, what that'll do is help the defense and that press when he's on the court. And then Koch, he's somebody you have to account for at all times with his ability to shoot the ball. So whether or not they play a ton of minutes is up in the air. Koch doesn't necessarily play a ton of minutes anyway when he's been available so far, but he does play, right? He is an important part of the rotation. So, I would guess probably 10-ish minutes for Cooper and maybe 15 for Sadu. And, again, it's all dependent on conditioning for Sadu. His athleticism and his defense will be huge for this game.
What do both Traore and Thelwell bring to this team just in general from what you've seen? You talked about Thelwell and how you feel he's been a great fit, and I would agree with you just in the action that I've seen this season so far. What do those guys bring just as just guys in general in the locker room, but also guys and players on the court, Elliot?
You know, what we've heard a lot from the team, Spencer, is Drew knows how to win, and we've seen it. We saw it against Washington State and Moline. He's brought an energy off the bench that I don't think, again, referring to last year, they just didn't have. And, you know, some people are clamoring for him to start over Brock Harding. But I think he's been really, really good for this team off the bench. He's a bigger guard than Brock, who's obviously a little undersized, plays some really solid defense. He's a leader out on the court. You know, whether Peyton's out there or not, he's a really good communicator, just being a little bit older and having been there, done that, been to the tournament with Morehead State, won a couple, I believe they're in the Ohio Valley Conference, or they're in the OVC. I can't remember if it's Ohio or what it is. But anyway, won a lot of games there. All-time winningest player in Morehead State history. He's a guy that just impacts the game, finds a way to impact the game, can hit big shots, make really solid passes, and is a good defender. With Seydou, again, it's that athleticism, and that's a huge addition to this team, who really just didn't have a ton of it otherwise. He's long. He's a good defender. He's, like I said, super athletic. We saw that alley-oop against Utah State, and we've kind of been waiting for that to show off in terms of his lob threat, the ability to be a lob threat for the Hawkeyes. And honestly, I think Seydou adds hope for the future for this team because he's able to do so many different things, and he's already impacting the game so quickly. He's part of that really, really, really good sophomore class with Price and Sanford and Owen Freeman and Brock Harding. And just having a presence like that, they haven't had it for a while. I mean, you go back to the Murray brothers, and I'm not saying Seydou's going to be a first-round NBA draft pick by any means, but he's got that athleticism and that playmaking ability that the team just hasn't had consistently in terms of a depth piece or just having in general on the wing.
One last big picture question before we actually get into tonight's game, Elliot. How important was it for them to get a win in conference play? I understand fully they almost didn't get that win, but the last couple seasons they've started off 0-for in Big Ten play. They got the buzzer beater from Josh Dix to beat Northwestern. They battled hard against Michigan, like you mentioned. How important was it for Iowa to get a win early on in conference play for the first time in quite a while, in your opinion?
Yeah, Spencer, damn near got the win at Michigan, too, with that shot that Price put up at the very end. That's huge. I think you can use moniker like set the tone and stuff like that, which, I mean, in this arena, I think is pretty accurate. Set the tone for the season. It's not something they've done for a while. They haven't been to the tournament, but they didn't go to the tournament last season. Hadn't been for, I guess they went the year prior, lost in the first round. It's really important. Not only just to get a good start, but for the confidence of the team in the Big Ten and to not be digging themselves out of a hole in terms of seeding going into the Big Ten tournament, which is obviously going to be difficult. Not everybody's going to go now that it's an 18-team league. So getting that win is important. Northwestern is a solid team. Would have been huge for them to walk away from or leave Ann Arbor and get that victory against a really solid team. That would have been a quad one win. But big one for them to get that first one against Northwestern last week.
All right, let's get into tonight's game. Elliot Clough from Hawkeye Beacon, part of the Rivals Network, joining me here on 1600 ESPN. I want to ask you this just about the rivalry in general, because you look at women's basketball last night, sold out crowd and a great game. Football always has, sold out crowds and a lot of, you know, back and forth, obviously, on social media and great games left and right in the football universe. Does this part of the rivalry, is it missing something? What's your read on this series? Because you look at each of the last six meetings, Elliot, and I'm sure you know, it's been decided by 14 or more points. Iowa, they've won every game at Carver since that 2014 game 10 years ago where the kiss was blown by George Niang to the Iowa students. It's been a while since Iowa State has had success in this in Carver Hawkeye Arena, but you look at the last few matchups, they've been all pretty one-sided, at least margin-wise. What's your read on the series? Is it truly missing something in your opinion, or is this just kind of the ebbs and flow of a rivalry?
That's tough. I would probably lean more towards what you just said there, and it's an ebbs and flow of a rivalry. As far as fan attendance and stuff like that for the men's games in Iowa, I think there's just a little bit of apathy, to be frank, with the lack of tournament success. Of course, having first-round picks and National Player of the Year just a few years ago is great, but if you can't turn that into tangible success, I think you start to lose people. I mean, if Lisa Bluter and Caitlin Clark's teams weren't going to the National Championship or Final Four or Sweet 16 or what have you, there'd be a lot of disappointment around that women's team, but there's not because they've had so much success because Caitlin is such a polarizing figure and just a talent that women's basketball hadn't seen before. well, the men just can't match that, and it's not necessarily their fault. I mean, it's a tough situation with the lack of success over more recent years. You know, of course, you factor NIL and NIL budget. What can you afford to bring in? It's different at Iowa State. They have a priority for men's basketball, whereas at Iowa, it's more football, and it's different, right? And I think part of it, too, does come down to the fact that women's basketball is so huge in the state right now, and folks want to put their resources towards that. They want to put their money towards that. If they're going to go see somebody play, it's, oh, I want to see the Iowa women play. I want to go see Lucy Olsen. I want to see Hannah Stolke. I want to see XYZ with my kids, you know? I really do think that's part of it. I don't know that there's necessarily something specific missing from this rivalry to maybe make it closer, maybe make it more entertaining. It's an in-state game, man, and I don't know. I don't know what you add to it to add a little flair, especially comparing to what we saw last night, which was a phenomenal game in Carver.
Yeah, there's nothing anybody can do about it, right? Sometimes teams are just better than others, and teams play well at home. That's just how things happen in basketball. For the game tonight, Elliot, what does it come down to for you when you look at Iowa and their chances tonight against the number three team in the country?
Man, for so long with Fran, it's been live and die by the three, and I think tonight is the perfect example. If you're going to get going, you got to get going fast. You got to get going and make a lot of them. And you got to make your free throws. This team has been struggling from the free throw line. They're getting there. They're not making a lot of those shots, particularly a guy like Owen Freeman, who's had a lot of and ones, but missing the one, the and one part. He's not making that free throw afterwards. So the team absolutely has to be more consistent from the free throw line. Cause your turnovers. And that's something that the Iowa team has gotten better at, that the Hawkeyes have gotten better at this year, is defense. Can you turn those turnovers into points? Maybe have a little bit of a favorable whistle in your home arena, right? Like you're playing a team that's really good in Iowa State. And some things really just got to break your way. The ball's got to bounce your way. But you also have to make some of your own luck, too, in making free throws and making those three-pointers. Peyton Sanford cannot have a 1-13 game tonight and expect for Iowa to win.
Elliot, thanks for the time, as always. We'll catch up again soon, okay?
Absolutely, Spencer. Thanks so much, man.
Elliot Clough from Hawkeye Beacon covers Iowa for Rivals.com. He's on his way to Iowa City. You can follow him on social media to get the latest there. And, of course, read their work at Hawkeye Beacon. They do a great job covering Iowa sports and all different angles. Had some great coverage of the women's game last night and coverage of football recruiting, of course. A lot of news about the portal and visits and recruits and different things like that. So I encourage you to check them out. Elliot from Hawkeye Beacon joining us here on 1600 ESPN.